Hi, church. How are you doing? You good? It is so good to be with you tonight. I'm Rachel, as Andy said, and yeah, I'm part of the leadership team here at Crossway Youth. So I lead a wonderful life group of Year 11 girls, and I'm also on the preaching team there as well. So normally when I'm standing up here, I'm looking out on a crowd of wriggling, giggling teenagers who are, you know, half of them are probably listening to me and half are Snapchatting each other. So this is quite different. This is quite nice. When you've spoken at Crossway Youth, you have to learn quite quickly how to get a bunch of teenagers to give you the time of day. So teenagers, they can be a bit of a tough crowd, yeah? But there's one that's paying attention. But I want to let you in on the secret that I've learned, all right? So the secret to getting a bunch of teenagers to sit up and give you the time of day, you just have to tell a lot of embarrassing stories about yourself. That's literally it. And the more humiliating, the better. And it has worked for me every single time without fail. I don't know what it is, but like it's like the youth go, yes, you screwed up so badly. You now have my complete respect. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But I know from, you know, being in the audience at the 6 o'clock service, the adult service is a different ball game. Yeah. How does the speaker get the attention of the audience? They just open with a story about their kids. Yeah. Yeah. That's how it works. I know. Well, I don't have any of those. So experience tells me that I might be in for a tough ride tonight, but you guys will go easy on me, yeah? Yeah? All right, fantastic. Well, how about we open in prayer? Jesus, it is so good to be in your house. And God, tonight, we don't just want more information about you. We want you to transform us. We want transformation tonight, God, in the way that your Holy Spirit can do, Jesus. And right now, each one of us, we just want to lay ourselves bare before you, God, and we just want to say, speak. Do whatever you need to do to us tonight, God. We're so open and we're so expectant for how you're going to move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So tonight, we're going to be continuing in our encounter series. So if you've been here over the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we've been looking at how do we position ourselves to encounter God in the ways that he has for us. And tonight, on the last night of the series, we're going to be unpacking this idea of the everyday encounter. Now, I wonder what comes to mind for you when you think of an everyday encounter. I wonder what kind of interactions you have in your world every single day, like clockwork. Maybe you wake up in the morning, you say good morning to your husband or your wife. Maybe you drive your kids to school. Maybe you get your coffee from the same barista who knows your order off by heart. And I know for me, when I think of an everyday encounter, I immediately think of hipster train guy. All right, so hipster train guy is this hipster guy. He wears like a flannel shirt. He has this beard that's luscious and beautiful. And he wears this beanie that looks like it hasn't been washed in a while. And hipster train guy gets on the train with me every morning when I head into work. So we get on at the same station. We stand on the same platform, in the same spot. We get on the same carriage through the same door. And we sit kind of like a couple of seats down from each other. And we never talk to each other. We kind of just, you know, the most we'll give each other is like a little head nod. Just like, I see you. I see you, hipster train guy. Yeah? And then we'll get off at the same station every day. And this is our routine. And, you know, the couple of times that I don't see hipster train guy on the train, I'm kind of concerned. You know, it kind of catches me off guard. I'm like, where is he? Is he okay? Is he all right? He's probably just like getting his beard trimmed or something like that. But it catches me off guard because this is, you know, a guy who is meant to be part of my everyday routine. He's part of my everyday rhythm. He is my everyday encounter. And so we all have these interactions. We all have these encounters that are so commonplace, so routine, that we don't even think about making them happen. They just happen. And could that ever be? Could that ever be how we experience and encounter Almighty God? Could you and I ever experience the hand of God as just a normal part of our everyday routine? And maybe you're here tonight and, you know, that's not your experience of God in your life. Maybe you've tried the whole see God in the everyday kind of thing and you've been a bit disappointed by that. Or maybe you've never gone there. Maybe you've just been like, it's not for me. However you are coming into tonight, I just want to encourage you straight off the bat to just be open tonight to what the Spirit might want to do, to the fresh truth, the fresh revelation that God might want to reveal to you. Because what the Scriptures emphasize time and time again is that our God is a God for the everyday. And we're going to start in Isaiah 43 tonight. And this is what the Lord says, starting from verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? So at this point in the Bible, God is speaking to the Israelites, and he's just reminding them that, hey, you know what? You don't have to keep reminiscing about that time when I brought you out of Egypt, you know. There's actually more for you than that, you know. There's now. There's today. Today I am doing a new thing. You see, God is in the business of doing new things. And we don't always get this, yeah? We like to sometimes box his activity into a nice little time slot on a particular day. But the reality is that there's actually never a moment when God is just kind of sitting up in heaven, taking a breather, yeah? He never rests. He never sleeps. He is always on the move. His glory is always permeating into our earthly existence. God is always encountering us. And so the question is not so much whether God is encountering us every day. The question is whether we perceive it or not. Do you not perceive it? The Lord asks. And this question, it gets me every time, you know. It's like this shake on the shoulders. It's like a call to sit up and, you know, pay attention. God is saying, I am at work today. I am doing, present tense, doing a new thing in and around and through you. Do you not perceive the way that I am encountering you? Do you not perceive the way that I am springing up in your worlds today? So this is how our God operates. And we can see this played out in the story of Samuel. And we're going to spend a little bit of time with Samuel tonight. And so just to provide a little bit of a backstory to where we're coming into Samuel's story. So we know that Samuel was a miracle baby. So Hannah, his mother, was barren for many, many years. She couldn't conceive a child. And so she made a vow. She said, you know what, God? If you're going to bless me with a child, if you would do that for me, I will commit this child back to you to serve you in the temple for the rest of his life. And so God honored that. Hannah became pregnant and Samuel was born. And true to her word, she sent Samuel off to go serve in the temple. And so the point that we're going to come into the story tonight, 1 Samuel 3, Samuel has been growing up in the temple. He's about 12 now, so he's still a young boy, but he's been serving God under Eli, the priest. And so let's read together in chapter 3, starting from verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Now check out that timing. The timing of this encounter is fascinating. So Samuel, he isn't calling out to God to speak. Yeah? He isn't on his knees, face down on the ground being like, God, speak to me. I'm listening carefully. He isn't at a prayer and worship night. He's not at a night rally at camp, you know? He's literally going to bed. And this is the point when God chooses to encounter him. And can you think of a more passive posture for Samuel to have been in, you know? He was just going about his everyday life and God encountered him as he was tucking himself into bed. I love that because God is all about that commonplace encounter, that everyday encounter. But do we perceive it? Do we perceive the everyday encounter? That's the real question. And we know that Samuel certainly didn't. So let's keep reading together in verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." And Eli says, "My son, I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Samuel is having a really tough time here. He's not doing too well. But what we see here are two classic responses that we have, that we all have sometimes when God tries to encounter us in the everyday. The first one is that we miss it. Yeah, we just miss the everyday encounter. Samuel misses the fact that God is encountering him. Three times he attributes the voice of God, yeah, to Eli. Why? Because three times he wrongly reduces this spiritual encounter to something earthly. And I don't blame him. I don't know if you do, because I know for me, if I hear a voice in the middle of the night, I'm kind of going to be thinking it's just someone, I'm going to be hoping actually, that it's just someone in the next room. But it kind of raises this question, doesn't it? I wonder how often we miss the everyday encounter with God because we're wrongly reducing it to something earthly. I wonder how often we are wrongly attributing the hand of God, the voice of God, a move of the supernatural to something just a little more familiar, something a little more tangible, something that makes a little more sense to us in our earthly frame of reference. The number of times that I've chatted to youth and young people who are like, "You know what? God doesn't speak to me. He just doesn't." And I'd be like, "Oh, okay, yep. How about that word that leader spoke into your life today? You know, that word of challenge or that word of encouragement that you said was, you know, so relevant to you?" And they'll be like, no. That was just the leader, you know, speaking into my life. That wasn't God. And I'll be like, "Oh, okay." You know what I mean? I bet you can think of an example as well. That job that I went for and didn't get, that was just bad luck. The way that, you know, things have been lining up so well for me recently, things have just been falling into place. Such a crazy coincidence, hey? That moment at that party with my friends when I realized, you know what, I can't give in to this pressure right now. Well, that was just, you know, my conscience kicking in, just a bit of common sense. So we all do it. And maybe you identify with Samuel in this moment. Maybe the move of God is not an explanation that you usually consider when you're trying to make sense of life's experiences. And don't hear me wrong, I'm not saying that, you know, every single little thing in your life is going to be this direct intervention by God. You know, we still have to have some discernment. But hey, are you discerning? Is discerning a part of your process? So that's the first common way that we sometimes respond to the everyday encounter with God. We just miss it. And the second way that we're shown in this passage is that we dismiss it. So three times, Eli dismisses the fact that God is encountering the boy. Three times, he sends Samuel back to bed and goes, "It's nothing. Just go back to bed." And perhaps that kind of resonates with you. this kind of almost, you know, cynical take on things. So maybe God is speaking, God is showing his hand in your world, but you kind of react by going, oh, no, it couldn't possibly be. It couldn't be God speaking to me. Go back to bed. It's nothing. And see, we all do it. We all do these things. We miss it and we dismiss it. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy how much we don't perceive with our human eyes. I don't know if you guys will remember this, but there was this ad that came out on TV a couple of years ago, and it was for sunscreen. And it was this perfect example of how little our human eyes actually pick up. And so what they did is they went down to the beach, and they brought their crew down, and they asked these people to come and apply sunscreen in front of their camera. And the footage is exactly as you would expect. So a person goes up to the camera, they get the sunscreen, and they're just like, they're applying it, and they're still rubbing, and eventually it disappears into nothing. And at this point in the ad, I'm kind of going, wow, not the greatest ad I've ever seen. This is really not groundbreaking. But then, they put a UV lens on the camera, yeah? And then they do the whole thing again. So they get the same people to come up to the camera, apply sunscreen on their face. But this time, the sunscreen has this kind of black tinge to it. And as the person rubs it on their face, it doesn't disappear. It actually covers their whole face with the black tinge of the sunscreen. And you can actually see the UV protection that the sunscreen is providing. And you know, at this point, I'm going, wow, great ad. I'm sold. So good. Someone get them an Oscar. Amazing. Oh, you can't see the... You can. Oh, you can. Good. Great. I'm on the ball. So with a normal lens, you just can't detect ultraviolet light. You just can't. It's there, but you can't perceive it with that lens on. And I wonder, what kind of lens are you looking at your world through? How is your vision? See, our tendency is to sort of, you know, go through our life with a human lens on, and so as a result, we're missing and we're dismissing all these God encounters that are happening around us. But perhaps there's a new lens that God wants us to put on for our everyday. And perhaps there is a spiritual lens that we need to start wearing as we go through our lives. And it's not that we don't put on the spiritual lens, yeah? We do. We just do it when we're ready. Yeah? When you walk into church on a Sunday, then we're like, they're on. When we come to youth or we come to young adults, we pop on our spiritual lenses. When we come to a prayer night or we step into a serving role in a ministry, then I'm like, spiritual lenses on. I'm ready to perceive what God is up to in my world. Yeah? But you know what, church? That is not how we were designed to experience and encounter the living God. Yeah? The reality is that the spiritual is not separate and distant to the earthly. The spiritual realm, and I don't know how you visualize this, but the spiritual realm is not far off. It's not something that we have to kind of usher in on special occasions. No, in fact, the spiritual intersects with the earthly at all times. There are spiritual forces at play around us at all times, whether we acknowledge it or not. You know, just like that sunscreen ad where we have this ultraviolet layer to the world that we normally don't see. There is a spiritual layer to this world. Yeah? Here in this room right now. Out there in your world. Superimposed on our earthly experience. Not separate. Right here. Intersecting with us. And I wonder if you're aware of this reality. I wonder if you're aware that that's how our world works. And then it's no wonder that God wants us to pop on these spiritual lenses for our everyday, yeah? He wants us to perceive, you know, his constant activity. He wants us to perceive the way he is intersecting with our earthly experience every day. I wonder if you could imagine what that would be like if we popped on these spiritual lenses every day, yeah? Imagine being able to detect the hand of God the voice of God when you're walking to your maths class on Monday. Yeah? When you're walking in between uni tutes. I don't know, when you're warming up your lunch in the staff room, when you're around the family dinner table. Imagine the kind of everyday intimacy that we would have with Jesus. Imagine the kind of everyday empowerment by the Spirit that would come out of that. And you know what? Maybe then, with our spiritual lenses on, maybe then we would be able to see things for what they really are. That leader who spoke that incredibly relevant word of challenge or encouragement to me, I now see that that was God speaking truth into my life through that person. That job that I went for and, you know, didn't get. God, what are you saying? You know, you closed that door. What else do you have in store for me? That the way that things have been lining up so perfectly for me lately. God, I can see you carving out this path for me. You're making your will for my life known by helping things to fall together. And hey, that moment when I knew that I could not give in to that pressure at that party with my friends, I hear you, God. Yeah, you're grabbing my attention and you're warning me gently, I can't go down that path. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. So I don't know about you, but that's how I want to live. Yeah? If God is intersecting our earthly lives every day, whether we acknowledge it or not, I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss the opportunity to receive his guidance, to hear his conviction, to partner with what he's doing, and hey, to give him glory where it was actually him and not coincidence, yeah? So we got to choose the spiritual lens for our everyday. Now let's continue with Samuel. Samuel, we haven't forgotten about him. It's about to get good. So let's go back to him in verse 8. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Took Eli 3 tries before he saw the situation through a spiritual lens, yeah? Before he stopped dismissing the fact that God was encountering Samuel. He got there, though. That's the important thing. We go on to verse 10. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening. 4 times. It wasn't until the 4th time that God called Samuel that Samuel finally responded to the invitation to encounter. But how does God respond? Incredible patience. I don't know about how, like, your families work and how you guys work, but I know that in my household, you're not going to get 4 chances to hear someone speaking, yeah? We went through this period of time when we'd renovated our house, and so me and Joyce, my sister, got moved upstairs and my parents were downstairs. And so we'd try and communicate with each other. We'd sort of, like, stick our heads out the door and just be like, Mom! Dad! Silence. Nothing. Yeah, it wasn't that they were ignoring us. They just couldn't hear us. And so at some point we realized, okay, this is not working. This communication is not working. Everyone's frustrated. It's just not good. And you know what we did? We made a group chat. Yeah, we made a text group chat. And so now when we're at home, we just text each other while we're under the same roof. Works a charm. Does anyone else have a family group chat? Yeah, thank you. You're making me feel better. Isn't it lucky that God showed Samuel so much more patience than that? You know, that's how God is. God watches as Samuel tottles over to Eli and goes, I'm here. And God's like, oh, no, my child, it's me. And he calls to him again, watches Samuel tottle over to Eli. And he's like, no, my child, it's me. Calls again and again and again. Jesus is relentless in pursuing us for the everyday encounter. That is his heart. Jesus is relentless. He yearns for that everyday encounter with us. You know, I love that we're finishing this series on the everyday encounter. Because we've looked at some pretty big encounters, yeah? We went with the unexpected encounter where, you know, we have to be ready for God to use anyone or anything to speak to us, even, say, a talking donkey. And then we talked about the deliberate encounter where, you know, we have to be bold and actually come to the throne of God and say, show me your glory, yeah? Show me your glory. Show me your holiness. And as much as it's possible in my humanness to see that, show me your glory. And you know what? Sometimes we actually limit our understanding of encountering God to these big encounters. Yeah, I like to call them fanfare moments. Moments that come with great fanfare, great power, that leave us just awestruck at the power of God. And now, don't hear me wrong, yeah? Fanfare moments with Jesus are incredibly significant. He loves showing us his power, you know, and building up our faith through those encounters. But the problem, and you know what the tragedy is when followers of Jesus limit their understanding of encountering him to just these moments, to just fanfare. And I think we can try and understand this a little bit more through the illustration of a dating relationship, as if we could ever compare a dating relationship to a love story with God, but just go with me on this. So we all know how those stories start, yeah? Expensive gifts, dinners at Vue du Monde, hot air balloon rides over sunrise, the weekends away. I don't know. I don't actually know. I'm just sort of imagining at this point. But that's what it's like, right? You know, everything's like a little bit larger than life. You know, and most of the relationship is kind of made up of fanfare. But, you know, as that relationship matures, it becomes less about the fanfare and more about just doing the everyday together. Yeah? Yeah? That familiar, comfortable company, and all the married people in the house are like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, at some point, the beauty of the relationship is just being able to pop over in your trackies, your takeaway on the couch, and talk about your day. The everyday together. Is that not the mark of a mature relationship? Just doing the everyday together. And it's not that there's no fanfare, but if fanfare is all there is, See, church, Jesus, the lover of your soul, yearns for the everyday love story with you. He's saying, stop making such a big deal of the fact that you're coming into church today. I'm with you when you're sitting on the couch watching Netflix. I'm with you when you're getting your books in between periods at your locker. I'm with you as you step onto the train in the morning. And in those places, I am craving encounter with you. And I will be relentless in pursuing the everyday encounter with you. Yeah? I'll be relentless. Do I need to call out to you four times like I did to Samuel? I will call out to you four times. I will call out to you 44 times. I have more for you and more for us than just fanfare, the big glory moments. I want to walk every day with you. That is the heart of God. So here is our reality. The spiritual intersects with the earthly every day. Jesus encounters us every day. And you know why? Because that's his heart. And when we're faced with a reality like this, it kind of demands a response. The worst thing would be if this message takes root in your heart as a nice sentiment. I don't want it to be a nice sentiment. Perhaps tonight, God is calling for a response from you. To put on the spiritual lens, yeah? To put on the spiritual lens for your everyday. I wonder how you're going to do that. Perhaps we can learn something from Samuel and his response to God. Maybe our daily prayer needs to start echoing Samuel's prayer. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What a beautiful sound that would be to the ears of Jesus. And we can make this really practical. We can go, you know what? As I enter through each doorway into each new context of my day, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You know, as I step through the doorway out of my bedroom first thing in the morning, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. As I step through the front door for the first time, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. As I step through the doorway into my office, into my university, into my school, into that catch up with my friends at that cafe, into the car, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let's just position ourselves, yeah? Position ourselves for the everyday encounter. You know, there is such power in just being open to what God is already doing. Watch what Jesus does. Watch how he shifts your perception of the world as you simply be open to him doing that. Or maybe tonight your response needs to take it one step further. Maybe like Samuel, you're not familiar with the voice of God yet. You're kind of going, gosh, I don't even know how to go about perceiving God in my everyday right now. And maybe you too need an Eli. Someone to come alongside you and just kind of, you know, someone you can go to and be like, here's what's happening in my world right now. And I think God might be saying something, but I'm not really sure. Could you pray with me? Could you help me discern that and help you discern the voice of God as you learn to do that for yourself? And if that's you tonight, if this is all like, whew, I don't know how to even begin. I want to encourage you, seek out an Eli this week. But how about right now? How can we respond to God right now? We're going to pause for a moment and just take a couple of seconds to reflect on this question. Was there something you missed or dismissed today that could have been Jesus trying to have an everyday encounter with you? A conversation, a blessing, an opportunity, a disappointment, a difficult interaction. I don't know what it's going to be. But did you miss something today? And God was actually trying to get your attention. We're going to give him a chance, a second chance to grab our attention again. And we know with his incredible patience, his relentless pursuit of us, he's going to take that second chance. And so why don't we do that now, church? Just take a moment to just think over your day and ask God, reveal it to me. Is there something I missed? And what do you want me to do about it? What do you want me to do about it? When you ask us the question, do you not perceive it? We want to be able to stand tall and look at you and say, yeah, I perceived it. I saw the way you encountered me today. And God, we know you're at work in our everyday, and so I pray that you would give each of us eyes to see through that spiritual lens, what you're up to in our everyday. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Would that become the prayer on our tongue every day, throughout our day? And God, as we do that, would you tune us? Would you fine-tune us into what you're doing, God? Would it become like second nature to us, being able to hear your voice and perceive your hand, God?